thing about faith is we all think we understand faith, but I can promise you if we understand faith, there is a time that you can literally move mountains, not hills, mountains, earthly mountains, demonic mountains, that we have been given this kind of authority to speak this kind of power in the earth. But there's a process. And I want to explain that process more thoroughly because I'm beginning to understand it now. And I want to share what I've been given with you this day. So I want you to go to Mark chapter 11. And it's amazing because Kenneth Hagin spent his whole life preaching on this verse. There's so much in here. So I want to talk to you today about the word, the sower. Say the sower sowed the word. He didn't just sow any word. He sowed the word of the kingdom. Because Matthew 13, if you put Luke 8, Mark 4, Matthew 13 together, Matthew 13 specifically says he sows the word of the kingdom. And he sows that word into your heart, not your mind. Say, with the heart, man believeth. And with a mouth, confession is made to the salvation. Do you know that you could believe all day, all year, that Christ died for your sins? But until that confession is made with a mouth, that salvation cannot commence. It takes two major components to bring forth the kingdom of God. That is, believing in your heart and believing what you say. And both of these are listed in Mark. I want to get into it in depth today of how we get to the place we move mountains. What we're looking for is mountain moving faith. We've moved a few hills in our life, but the church must learn how to move mountains in the earth. The church has already been given this authority. The Lord's already gave the authority, but we must learn how this authority works to move mountains. You can move geographical, you can move generational mountains, you can move things that have been in generations, you can move mountains over your community, over the state, over this nation. This kind of authority has already been given into the earth. But we must learn how this works, amen? And until we learn how it works, then we're going to quit or give up. That's what happens, or the enemy steals it, or we exchange it for what's good. What's good is not going to get it done. We have to not exchange what is good for God's best. The enemy is very skillful exchanging God's best for what is good. Amen. All right, so Mark 11, verse 22, we'll begin, and I'm going to kind of get into a realm of exhortation to explain what the Lord is saying right now. Amen. Not just saying, doing. Hallelujah. See, our words are with power. We need to get to the point where our words are with power. Not just any arbitrary word, but the word you carry with the kingdom with power. An authority where the earth begins to obey you. The earth is meant to obey the word of God in our life. Devils are meant to obey. We need to get to the place where we start bossing them around instead of them bossing you around. Amen. The Bible says when the Lord came on the scene, his word was with power. The earth obeyed him. The trees obeyed him. Every demon in hell obeyed him. They had to ask his permission. Because his word was authority and with power. And we have to get to that place now. Amen. And we will. And we are. But there's a process. If we don't understand that process, it'll get intercepted. And what I'm going to share with you today is what the Lord's been teaching us for a long time. But now we're getting into the final phase, which I'm extremely excited about. I'm walking right now in what I said this morning. Amen. Praise God. I feel glory. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. So he's going to say that and he's going to tell you how to have faith. Verily I say unto you, now, it's kind of interesting because he starts with the result of your faith, or phase two, but phase one is in verse 24. Phase two is in verse 23, but he starts with the finality, and then he gets into phase one. He says, now, whosoever, so here's the result of having faith. The result of having faith is whoever was saying to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And shall not doubt in his heart. but believe those things that he saith to come into existence. You're not going to begin faith believing that what you say will come into existence. That is not phase one. That is the finality of your faith. Because without phase one, you can't have phase two. Because you're not going to rid yourself of the doubt in the heart. You can't. I doubt not, I doubt not, I doubt not. That is not how that works. But he shall believe those things he saith to come into existence. That's where it come to pass means. You are given the power of the creative realm of God. You can speak things from another realm into existence here. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So he says you have to believe what you say. That's actually phase two. Phase one, he kind of reversed. He likes to keep things a mystery. It kind of keeps you attached to him. He likes unfolding things over time. Amen? Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, this only needs to be done once a day. If you do it right. In the beginning, I did it all day. And I talked about that last week, how we broke the spirit of poverty. It took me 11 months confessing literally the word of God for 6 hours a day. That's the hard work. That is actually not the way we have to do it. I'll get into that in a minute. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. You see, it's a different believing. First, the second one, he said, believe that you receive, but then he started with believe what you say. You cannot believe what you say until you first believe what you have received. Because what you're saying is what you received. Say, what I say from the heart is what I believed that I received. You can only believe what you say to come into existence because you're saying what you had believed in your heart. So phase one is the most difficult. And that's where we've been for a long time. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit today. Then I'll get into phase two. Phase one, believe that you receive. Why does God require you believe that you received as done? The reason he's requiring, because it's part of his process by which he transfers. It's part of how he transfers the kingdom from an invisible realm into the earth through you. Say, this is the word of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom is going to be transferred out from a heavenly jurisdiction to an earthly jurisdiction through by way of you. It has to come out from the kingdom, that other realm, call it the right hand of God, the eternal realm, from a realm that was, is, and is to come. It's got to get into this realm. That's what everybody wants. That word with power here, manifesting in this realm. Not many people doing that in the nations right now. The enemy is really good at what he does. It's possible to know everything and manifest nothing. It's possible to have all the knowledge in the world, but you can't get it into power or manifestation phase. That has been my Achilles heel all my life. It's like he keeps talking, but I can't get it into the earth. I couldn't. I can now. Because it wasn't time. So what do? Wait all our life for God to say, okay, it's time. I'm going to show you what God's waiting on, how to accelerate what he's waiting on, how to be a part of what he's waiting on, because there's a reason why he has to get you to fully receive it into your domain. It's part of the legal way he transfers out from that realm in the heavenlies into this realm in the earth. Everyone say, I am a dual citizen. The Bible says your citizenship is in heaven. You have a right to walk into the realms of the glory, and you already walk in this realm. You have a part of you that's unique than any other person on the planet that's not been born again. You've been made in the image of God. Born again. A new creation. There's an heir up inside of you. But if he always stays in kindergarten and never graduates first grade, he'll never know who he is. That heir has to grow up and understand and learn the way of the kingdom. Otherwise, we'll sit in church and do things the world's way and call it the blessing of God. But God wants to do it his way now. And he wants us to grow up into mountain-moving, devil-stopping, tongue-talking machines. But literal moving of the mountain. The literal knowing that a demonic world will know your name when you speak. They'll have to obey you. Amen. When they start arguing, they already know you got authority. Because you challenge their authority. It's not just a demonic realm. It's the systems of this world that are endeavoring to control the heirs of God. Now Mark 4, Matthew 13, Luke 8 has a whole lot to say. When the Bible says the sower sowed the word of the kingdom. How the word of the kingdom works. There's a lot of different words. There are words of knowledge, there are words of instructions. Then there are words of the kingdom. The word of the kingdom is sown in the heart. When you put all three together, it says it like this. You believe that you receive. He that receive my word and understandeth it. He that receive my word and receives, understands, keeps. Hear, everyone has to hear the word, so those are the four. You hear the word of the kingdom, you receive the word of the kingdom, you understand. Now understanding the word is not just understanding, but understanding the process of how the word of the kingdom works. And then he keeps the word of the kingdom. But then you've got demonic forces around you, 24 hours a day, they want nothing more to do than harass you, to steal what you've been given. Snatch the word out of your heart before it takes root. Persecution, affliction. You think somebody doesn't like you. They may not like you because what's inside you. Cares of this life. Busyness. Cares of this life. Deceitfulness of riches. Listen, God has no problem with riches. It's just what system you're serving. The blessing of the Lord can make you rich and add no sorrow that the world system has. When God does it, you're not serving it. It's serving you. When man does it or mammon does it, you end up serving it. It's your master. There's a lot of people that can make a deal with the devil. I mean, I'm talking about Christians, but people in the world system make a deal with the devil. But that spirit is their master. And when they try to get up from under it, whoo. A lot of entertainers, after they figured out what they signed up for, try to back out. They are under the control of the demonic principalities now. They don't get to back out. They signed up with that master. But God wants to bless his people with a blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, but doesn't add the sorrows of the world with it. To do that, we have to be trained. Amen? So the word was sown. Lust of other things. There's a whole realm. Not to mention, you have the enemy after the word, but then we have our own issues with the word. What are those? We like to add things. We like to help God out. I know there's not a single person here has done that, so I'll just tell on myself. I was King Ishmael for a long time. Man, if you look back, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll just stop at 5 for the sake of grace. I mean, when you carry something, you don't know how to get out, and it never leaves you. And it burns a hole on the inside of it, and you don't know how to carry it. Well, your natural tendency is after a while, the enemy will come along, then go, carry it, that's it, that's got to be it. And with me, I was like Peter, I'd jump before I'd think, you know. Remember Peter? He just jumped. He just speak. I mean, God uses Peter, though. That's the, he loves that. But I like John's personality a lot better, though. You're not going to get near as much trouble. You don't see John speaking out of turn all the time. You don't see that. John's always the one in the right place, the right time. Peter, even Peter goes, oh, what are you going to do with John? The Lord says, kindly, it's none of your business. You stay with me, Peter. Isn't it amazing? Peter was the one that led the early church revival, but John was the pillar. So you have things inside of you that will try to advance that word. While we're young, we don't understand. And those things have to die. That's a lot of things God's waiting on. But more importantly, he says this. He says, when the sower sowed the word, it came in. Now listen, it came in seed form. It also said, and Marcus said, it was the least of all things that be in the earthen vessel. You are an earthen vessel, but you're not really an earthen vessel. He's just calling you an earthen vessel for the sake. You're actually a heavenly ground. Your spirit's heavenly soil. Your heavenly ground. He sows his word into a spirit that he created to handle that word. Your good ground. Say, I'm good ground. It's not your spirit's the problem. It's your soul that interacts. It's not your heart. The problem is it's your heart interacts with your mind and your emotions, and all of that gets involved with the process. And it comes in as a seed. The Bible says, I had a problem with that in the beginning when the Lord first showed me. I said, Lord, I don't understand this verse. How can your eternal word that's greater than heaven and earth be least of all things inside of me? Because it comes in as a seed. But it doesn't feel like it comes in as a seed. How many of you ever had an encounter with God where he explodes a word on the inside of you? Raise your hand. Man, when he explodes, you feel like you're Superman. I mean, your car will go in somewhere to manifest yourself. But when the word comes in with a seed. But it says it's the least of all things that be in your earthen vessel. Because when God sows that word, there's a lot of stuff up inside. And I remember I had a vision that seed was sown in these big full-blown oak trees. And they take their limbs and they swat at that thing and swat at it every day. That's what it feels like. Sometimes that seed's up against Goliaths that are in your mind. Legion. What's up inside of you has to be overcome. All of that is constituting issues with your belief system. All of that is constituting problems, doubt, unbelief. All of that has to be removed. That word must first grow up inside of you before it's going to be released with power in phase two. So when he said believe that you receive, that is a process that takes time. It can take 40 years. If you're Noah, it would take 100 years. If you're Abraham, it took 25 years. If you're Moses, it took 40. If you're LaRue, I don't know yet. But it doesn't matter. Because you can graduate and learn how to accelerate. It doesn't have a linear time where God says, okay, at year 40, release the glory. That's not what he's doing. He's waiting on that word to grow up. Why? Because that's the way it's designed to transfer. But he's always speaking the end from the beginning. So when he sows it, it can come in with a bang. So much that you think tomorrow we're having revival. Because he explodes it from a realm of glory from which he sent. All he's doing is seeding your ground. We have to learn to be skillful keepers, carriers. We've done that. But I have found something that can cause it to accelerate. Why does he need it to grow up? Why does a baby need to grow in your womb? Do you want your baby coming out at month three? Every mother in here knows there's a time for the baby to come out. There's a time to release. And you don't want a premature release. And you don't want an overdue release either. You know when it's time, amen? Unfortunately, with the kingdom, we don't know. Because we always think we're ready, don't we? How many Januaries come around? How many of you have been here at least 5 years? Have you heard us say in January, this is our year? If you've been here 10 years, you probably heard that too. This is our year. Why? Because God keeps you. He is a master fisherman. He puts you on a hook. He's the only one who can put you on a hook, set that hook, and keep you on that hook for 20 years. He's really good at what he does. Fight. Fight all you want. Just run the line out. Fight. God will wear you out. Amen. He's got to wear the old man out, but he's not going to wear the new one because he needs the cooperation of the new one. That's why he has to divide asunder. That's why we need to get out of this jurisdiction, because if we are constantly in this realm, constantly barraged by this realm, we never get free. And that word is constantly being pressured before it has time to grow up into fruition. Amen? So God ingeniously designed this thing called if you abide in me where I am, and that word I've given you abides in you, you'll come to a place where I can ask you what you will and it'll be done for you. So when you can bring it out from the realm of the earth into the realm of peace, enter the rest. Labor in the spirit to enter my rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Come boldly to the throne of grace so you can exchange. So he's given us all this new realm now where we can exchange, where we can transform, where we can be loved, where we can be clothed, where we learn how to stand in his light and bring his word into the light. We need what's in that seed. When God gave me Zechariah 4 34 years ago, when he gave me that long time ago, he said, this chapter is all you need to accomplish the wealth transference of the nations. I'm like, what does two olive trees and a dude named Zerubbabel and a golden bowl have anything to do with wealth transference? Because he brings it as a seed. In that seed, there was an extraction of multiple mysteries. He didn't give all those mysteries at one time. Your word that you carry has mysteries. It has images. It has the Father's creative thoughts in it. It has his plan, his purposes. You may not know them all, but I can tell you how to get all that. You got to get your word in the presence of the Father. That's part of the keeping. You bring it into the presence of the Father. Habakkuk said this. Write the vision, make it plain on the tables. But we learn to carry this. But then if we wrote it all, the Lord said, establish precedence for what you're asking. You go into the presence of a king. You're going into the Supreme Court of heaven. Bring you some precedence. Bring you some evidence that God actually does. So as we brought that, I used to rehearse this thing. But every time I did that, revelation would come. What would God give? I'm wanting him to bring the glory out. He goes, you're not ready, but this is what you're ready for. So he'd give you more and give you more and more. And as fast as the church could digest it, he would send it. Boom, 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 boom. He started extracting mysteries of the last days. Mysteries of the golden lampstand. Mysteries of the crown. Mysteries of the seven spirits of God. All these mysteries were coming out. One after another after another. And suddenly I was connecting Zechariah 4 with Revelation 5. And Revelation 4. And oh my God, Revelation 3. And Zechariah 10. Zechariah 6. Haggai chapter 2. All of that was in the seed. The purpose of all that was a transference. This is what we must understand. When God brings something to heaven and earth, he is bypassing second heaven jurisdiction now. You remember when Daniel prayed? Finally, I think it was Michael came, showed up, said, God heard you the first day you prayed. He sent your answer. But the prince of power of Persia was withstanding me for 3 weeks. Second heaven. They don't want nothing coming out of heaven into the earth. Because in the Old Testament, that's the way it was. In the New Testament, that's not the way it is. God can bypass Prince of Persia. He can bypass the whole second heaven stuff. Why? Because you've been seated at the right hand with God, raised together, and you can operate as a dual citizenship, which makes that image very important to learn how to get into that realm. Because when you get that realm, God can go face to face with you. And more importantly, every single time He's showing you something, it's part of the way He's transferring from His throne, from His creative realm to you. He's extracting the image of that seed, because it's kind of like this. When He came to Mary, He didn't say a Savior's going to be born. When Gabriel came to Mary, He said, a king is coming out from you, Mary, and He will sit upon the throne of your father David forever. You know that hadn't even happened yet? It has in heaven, but not in the earth yet. Mary's word that was pronounced to her when Christ was born, He never sat upon the throne of David. He did when God reassigned it into the heavens. He sits on it now, but He's going to sit it on it here. He's going to rule 1,000 years right here. And the kingdoms of this world, He's going to rule it with a rod of iron. They are going to bow to Him. Every one of them. Because His crown's returning. And we have a big part of that. The crown is at hand. All of that had to get up inside of us. But that baby still had to grow up in her womb. He can son of God, but he still had to grow. Your word is growing. If you want it to really grow, you can put it in the supercharger called the face of God. He can carve years off your believing. Because He's got to get that word to a transferred state inside of you till it gets full grown. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. It's still up inside of you. It's not ready to release yet. But all you're speaking and all you're seeing and all you're saying is doing something. It's part of God's transference. We get to bypass second heaven influence. He can take a word and send it out of heaven as a seed. He can send it up into your spirit. And it can grow up inside of you. He's growing the kingdom inside of you. For its release out of you. And there's nothing the devil can do unless he can steal it before it gets to the time of birth. We've had 2 or 3 miscarriages around here. That happens. When you carry a word like we're carrying, he comes at it. Doesn't matter if we stay with it. Now he's given us the face of God. I'm talking the revelation. You can get it or not get it, but I'm going to say it anyway. We have to bring this up into the realm. See, the word came from the realm that was and is to come. The word is the realm that was, that is, and is to come. Its image can get extracted on the inside of you. But God knows the day it's going to come to full age. That's the most difficult part of all. Because of the enemy system, listen, my spiritual father, I'm going to say it right now, died. Not seeing his promise. And there's not a single person that labored greater than that man did. He laid a foundation in people. He prayed in tongues, sometimes 12, 16, 18 hours a day. He had locked himself away in his praying tongues. Speaking mysteries. He's the one who taught me how to meditate the word. But he had a vision for revival. And he did not see it before his day. Doesn't mean he's not going to get rewarded for it. Because the sons he produces out of that. Sometimes somebody can give their whole life to establish one truth that some other generation's going to run on. But they brought it out of heaven and they laid it into the earth. And it's not going anywhere. Sometimes they didn't get to see the promise. Their sons get to see it. When John Osteen passed away, they didn't even know who was going to run the church. Joel Osteen, he did not think of himself anyway. He never wanted to be in a pulpit. When he first started preaching, his vision was to get all the 50 of the best preachers and bring them through the church. That's exactly. He'd bring them in until anointing showed up on him. And so John Osteen's legacy come through his son and went global. But we are a generation that must bring forth and usher in the King of Glory. We have that word. What God was waiting on for that word to come to full age. Hard to get a word to full age unless you can get to the realm it's done. The way you get to the realm it's done is you had to go before the face of God and learn how he does things up there. Because he can get you in the realm that is to come. If he can get your spirit in the realm that is to come, he can get you into that word that is to come. And so he started opening the realm that is to come. He started opening the creative thoughts of a finished word. He started opening plans and purposes that were beyond what we're even walking in. And I'm telling you right now, believe it or not, last 2 or 3 years, we've been walking in a future realm. We call it perambulating. Walk with God. It's called traversing with God. You can walk with God's creative thoughts. If you stay in that realm, I thought, honestly, because God only gives you what you can see, I thought perambulation would bring the kingdom into the earth. I've been doing it and 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 doing it. And the most remarkable thing is we get out there in this future day and God meets us out there. And he manifests his glory. And I learned to eat from that realm. That's so much better than this one anyway. Because it's finished. It's glorious. But what I realized was all this wasn't even classified as the release of the kingdom. It was still in the realm of believing you received. He was writing his will. Not only present, but future will. He was painting it on the canvas of our human spirit. Why was he doing that? He was releasing the realm that was, came in as a seed, the realm that is, where you are present, the realm that is to come. He was writing the whole thing on inside of you. It was being represented in heaven. It was being spoken in the realm of your heart. Why? I'm just trying to share with you how a very great mystery works, because that is what God's commanded me to do. Amen? I'm trying to show you how a great mystery works, because he's shifting us now. And so we did this and kept doing it. He wouldn't let me go any further than a certain day, which is a wedding day we're going to celebrate. But that wedding day had a lot of things up in it. There was a lot of victory before that happened, so I'm going to say. So we would go out and experience things. We would experience God in a future realm that came out of his heart. And the reason he was writing all that, he was fulfilling the seed's image in me, in us. Because we did this with people. Why? Because he had to write the finished work inside. It was part of the way he transfers from the jurisdiction of heaven into the earth. Now it's here. Say it's here. Now the word was here in a seed, but he had to get it. Just like Mary, she was impregnated, but he's not coming out in day one. He's not coming out in 30 days. He had to grow up in her womb. That word had to grow up in a finalized state. We started understanding that the foundations of this house had been finished, complete. 70 years were fulfilled. We preached on that. I'm speaking mysteries right now. Amen. We come to a place that started completing on the inside. Believe you receive now. He started changing the instruction 2 weeks ago. Time to release. It's time to release what's inside of you. Now that word can be spoken in power in the earth. Because all doubt. Well, it's an amazing thing. When I'm speaking now, there is no doubt. It's very easy to believe what you say when you're speaking from a realm that's been finished inside of you. Not so easy to believe what you say will come to existence when your heart is full of a lot of stuff. But that word, when it grows up, has a way of pushing everything else out. When it starts expanding, it pushes doubt out. It is the primary tree in your heart. It's not secondary anymore. It's not least anymore. To him who hath my word, to more shall be given. He'll feed the image of that seed till it grows up to a full-blown tree, now ready to be spoken out into the earth and be decreed. Our word is with power. The time of that is at hand. now faith is. Habakkuk says like this, write the vision, make it plain on the tables, that he may run that readeth it. In its end, or in, when it comes to fruition, it will speak. Say, it will speak. That word will speak. And when it speaks with power. It speaks with authority. It speaks because it's come to age and there's nothing the devil can do. But if he couldn't steal it inside, he's definitely not stealing where it is now. Because once it gets to age, I don't care what he throws at it. He can't stop what's going on inside. Man, it's like fire coming out of your mouth. It's like a glorious hurricane rolling out of your mouth. I'm telling you the authority you feel. I'm not trying to convince anything. I already know. It comes out with power. It's creative. I'm not speaking some arbitrary thing. I speak what's been sown. I speak what's grown up. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth can now speak. Life is in the power of our tongue. Let there be life. The crown is at hand. I don't know how long it'll take to speak. I had no long, how long it would take to bring it to fruition. Doesn't matter to me. The more I do it, the more charged I feel. The more I do it, the more faith I feel. How many of you ever took off in confession? The more you do it, the worse you'd feel. Man, in the beginning days of confession, the more I would do it, I started getting weary and dragging. I'd have to get a spatula to throw my words up in the air. As soon as I spoke them, they'd fall flat on the ground like a pancake. I'd have to get in and throw them up because they hadn't grown up. You'd be much better to speak to yourself. Psalms and hymns, speak the word inside. A lot of your confession, oh believers, is what's going on inside of you. Man, if God would have just told me, because he'd have told me, I wouldn't have done it. See, keep me on the hook all these years. But he knows how to keep me on the hook. Amen. But now, the time's at hand. The Bible says, you can speak to mountains. Doubt not in the heart. Believe those things that you sayeth will come into existence. You will have what you say, because what I'm saying, I believe what I say, because what I'm saying is from the realm of what I've believed. I've already believed. I got it. It's survived everything. Be thou removed, cast in the sea. Remember the spiritual father said, be thou removed, cast in the sea. You better bring you a life check, because you're the one going swimming. Oh, mountain, be removed, cast in the sea. Sometimes you are the mountain. He throws you in the sea. Sometimes you're the greatest enemy. In my case, I was. It's okay. It's good to be on the other side of things for a while. We learned how to keep his word. And we learned how that thing grew up. Now when I speak, my words don't fall flat on the ground. I go up and when I come down, I am ready to rip. The authority of the Lion of Judah, boy, it comes with ferociousness. You're like a lion to roar at the earth because his words in, and he's roaring now. You're not just making a sound. There's authority there. And it, all it's going to do is continue to grow. Our authority is going to grow till this world system begins to obey. The Lord spoke to me this morning, stay with me on this and the world will obey what I say through you. I mean, it's about time that the world starts obeying what we say. That we have authority to change. We can't just say I have authority to change and go change it with human sufficiency. Our authority resides in these mysteries. And this word growing up with us. When it comes time to release it, to decree its existence, God has given us authority to release his power into the earth, his creative power, and the earth will obey you the way it obeyed him, because you're not speaking in your name, you're speaking in his name, and it's with authority. That's the first thing they said about the Lord. Who is this carpenter that we grew up with? They were so familiar with him, and suddenly the anointing come on him, His word came. What do you think he was doing 30 years? He was growing up inside of him till the time for him to speak. And when he did, the Holy Spirit came upon him. They said, this man's word is with authority. Is this not, and they're trying to discern what's going on with him. Is this not Joseph's son that we know, this carpenter? Who is this guy talking? Even the devils obey him. They've never seen anything like it. They're asking permission. You come to torment us before the time. They knew exactly who he was. Give us permission to go into these swine. Don't send us in the dry places. Give us permission. How'd you like a devil to come ask your permission? Before I give you my permission, I'm going to slap you a couple of times. It's not this devil's. Poverty is a devil. Sickness. Those are systems created by demonic powers. And the systems will obey you too. How about the ruling systems over our community, our city? How about over our generation? Change our generation. Because all this is now at hand. The authority of the spoken word. I'm not speaking something contrary. I'm speaking what's in here. Because what's in here grows up and it gets up in here in your mouth. You put that realm and the mouth together. And when it releases by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see creative things start happening. The Lord did more by a creative word than he ever did by laying on of hands. He spoke creative words and things would obey him. Go your way, your servant's healed, as soon as he said it's done. By this kind of authority, we must walk in before his return. He is not returning for a church without power. It's a church of them, and this is a church even greater in our day because the crown is returning into the earth. And part of what we're speaking now, not part, all, is the crown is at hand. All that he has said is in an at-hand position. Speaking that creative realm, the residing heart of the Father into the earth for manifestation and demonstration. That day is at hand. You'll be my spirits jumping up and down. I know it's our final instruction. I said that about the face of the Father too. I told Chuck, this is the final revelation. This is it. I said in my prayer calls, I'm telling you, this is the last thing God's saying. You know, Pastor Chuck, he just smiled at you. Because I thought it was. But it was the finality of getting that belief system to a finished work. I got to walk out into a finish line with God. I got to experience his glory in the finish line. There were days that I could walk out into a future that's actually going to happen. I'd walk out there, I'd see it, I'd say it, and he'd meet me out there. No, he wouldn't disappear to me, but he'd meet me with his glory and manifest it. He'd manifest with honor. We would come out like beaming like a light bulb, so full of glory. I thought today is the day. And I would come back in the earth. I could not believe. Sometimes I'd come back to a dead service. I'm like, what is going on? How can I live over there and not see this here? I said, God, I don't get it. That realm's so glorious. But nothing would happen. Because he wouldn't explain it to me at the time. He loves to keep you on a hook. All the while, he knew he was writing another stroke of the pen. As soon as he gets your spirit over the finish line, he's writing the finish line inside of you. It's the way he transfers everything over. He doesn't have to address the prince of the power of Persia anymore. Those second heaven influence cannot stop the living word that's already inside you. They don't get a say. He bypassed them all together. He doesn't have to come down through. He comes through you now. His word is up inside of you. And it's glorious and full. And there's nothing that ever... If he hadn't stole it by now, he ain't getting it. You can have it. It's fiction to rend his systems. God takes the weak things of the world up and found the wise. He puts his wisdom up inside of us. He puts his finished work. He writes it. And God said, it's done. It's finished. Time to release now. Time to speak. Release it. loose it, decree it. Man, I'm having the time of my life right now. I'm doing all this prayer. I'm going to the right hand of God. I'm doing all this, but I can't wait. Because I got to get clothed. I got to exchange because I want to come down with a lion. I don't want me up in there. So when I come, I can't wait for that final part to get down here and just speak. Command. I'm standing in this market. You will obey me. I've already seen your end. I carry your finish. It's right here. I got it. Like David, I don't come to you in my name. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And you will bow this day. Because he's with you. His word is with you and your word is power. Amen. Let's give God glory. So I'm going to read this one more time. Go to Habakkuk 2. I'm going to leave this with you. I said it, but I'll say it again. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables. That he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's got to grow up to full age. But in its end, in its fruition, it will speak. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come and it will not tarry in its end. It will speak. Listen, your word, you carry, it's going to speak. It's going to come rolling out of you. It's going to fuck a volcano up inside of you. When it's ready to come out, there's nothing going to stop it. It's living, it's powerful, and it's ready to move out of the earth. And the world will obey it. As soon as that authority hits the earth, the world will know. Not how loud you speak to a devil. God knows when your word is ready. And by the time your word's ready, you won't think so highly of yourself anymore. By the time your word's ready to come, it's about that word and not you. Because guess what? In all that time it's growing, you're being dismantled. The old part of you is getting dismantled while that one's growing up in the new part of you. He has an innate way to dismantle the old while the new is growing. When it's ready, it's ready. And it'll come out with authority. And it'll all be about him and not us. It's about his glory. It's about the manifestation of his kingdom in the earth. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.